Joining you from our Charlotte studios, it's Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app. We're also streaming across the Radio Maria broadcasting area. Good to have all of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in as well for a brand new edition of Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer of Faith and Sport. And as always, joining us in the studio, the host of Faith and Sport, the one, the only, Dr. John Aquaviva.
I don't know. They're usually louder than that. Folks, welcome to the show. Wherever, whenever, however you're joining us today. We are so glad you're joining us today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. I teach exercise science right down there. I always point. Nobody can see me. Actually, on YouTube, they can see me.
Yeah.
At Wingate University, which is just east here of the...
Let's just hope you're pointing in the right direction.
I know. I always point, but I have a feeling I'm pointing like north or something. Anyway, Wingate University, which is right over that way. And then once every once in a while, I'll come over here. I put on a cape and a mask. So finally, we're getting louder.
Yeah.
And we do this crazy show called Faith and Sport. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk today's sports topics, including our hit and miss with Jason Murphy. He's going to join us in a second. In the second half of the show, Rebecca Dussault, a former Olympic athlete, mother of five, homeschooler. Check out what she does even before she comes on at fitcatholicmom.com. Rebecca's going to join the second half of the show, and then we're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A and some other crazy stuff in between. Chris, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
Are you?
My Wolfpack's doing great. Having a great season so far. Looking forward to the up-and-coming Daytona 500, getting ready to kick off
that's right.
A brand-new
NASCAR season.
With Chase Elliott, man Jimmy Johnson's coming back. Going to get behind the wheel again.
Is he being retired? See, I don't know this. Is he retired or was he hurt?
Well, no, he had retired full-time, but he was doing some Indy racing and
other
circuits. But he's come back to NASCAR and part owner with Richard Petty.
Got it.
And his
he's
racing
your guy.
Team. And he's going to be
he's
driving one
guy.
Of Richard Petty's cars.
Yeah,
he was my favorite driver before he retired with Hendrick Motorsports.
My favorite guy is Jeff Gordon. Is he coming back?
No, he's still in the boot, but he was one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, I like
Jimmy.
Him. He's got to come back, so at least I can go. I know one race car driver, but now I know a couple, like Jimmy Johnson.
But Chase Elliott, he does great for Hendrick Motorsports.
Right. I know his dad better than him, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville.
There you go. Brother, you mentioned you're the producer. I thank you for everything you do for the show. What other shows here on Carolina Catholic Radio do you produce?
Well, you mentioned that Jason Murphy is here with us today.
What's the name of his show?
Produce his amazing show called The
Obligation. That's right.
And also help produce Joyful Echo with Gene Whalen and Kathleen Lewis, the Census Fidelium Hours of the program that we have here. Also, The Remnant with Bill Snyder.
And company,
yeah.
So how many shows is that? I think you just said four. Is that all of them right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then also
and we're growing,
our various Carolina Catholic showcase segments that we feature, you know, throughout the week on Carolina Catholic Radio and Carolina Catholic Media.
And your voice is on all the time. I know.
Right.
It's so great how it comes through the airwaves.
Yeah, I try to compete with you. I mean, your voice is on all the time, and I just try to
Ed
get mine.
No, it's Ed Billick. You know darn well,
Ed
you and I are
Billick.
Both. Yeah, we're trying to compete with Ed Billick. Let me ask you, you know those little segments I sent, have they been running? Are they airing yet? One on the Elvis Gerback clip, and then the other one on the Hail Mary, where the Hail Mary came from.
I've been so tied. I haven't gotten to that yet, but I've been so
tied
up. I
shouldn't have asked some of that on air.
With
Jason,
the
that wasn't a good
showcase
idea.
Segments, like last week was all Catholic Schools Week stuff that I had to get running. And January was Pro-Life Month. We had a lot of pro-life programming.
You were busy, brother.
Yeah.
No, thank you. In fact, I know those will come on soon. I was just wondering if we'll hear those soon. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, let's bring on our special guest, Jason Murphy. He's the host of The Obligation, and he's the coordinator of the men's conference here in the Carolinas. Brother, how you doing today?
Doing very well, doctor. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
This is fantastic. My brother, we always start this conversation with hit or miss, and that always gets us started in this conversation about what's going on in the world of sport.
That's right.
As always, the hit or miss means something that's good or bad that's happened in the world, in our view, in the world of sport that's directly tied to the world of sport. I think they like Jason more than they like the host, which is fine.
Yeah, it sounds like they're saying, Jason.
No, they're not booing. They're yelling, the obligation.
Oh, hey, I like that. Yes.
I know. That's when you know you have a good product. They know the product more than they know you.
As long as they're not saying, let's go, Brandon. Sorry. You know me. I'm always bringing trouble.
No, that's fine.
Come on, Brandon. Shoot the balloon.
Oh, we're dead now.
Unbelievable.
Canceled.
Unbelievable.
You know when it's confusing? I have a good friend who's NSA, right? National Security Agency up in D.C. Yeah. And I have another friend that's FBI. And they are puzzled by the whole kind of climate that's been kind of created in Washington about our national security. That's all I'll say. It's unbelievable. I don't want to go down that road. You and I can talk. If nothing else, let's talk during the break. Or
I'll call that a miss.
Yeah.
It's not going to be my miss today, but I would call
that
a miss.
No, that is a big miss, brother. Yeah. Okay, as always, the guest goes first. What's your hit or miss for the week?
So I'm going to go with a hit.
Let's hear it.
And I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
With
who is
the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, and what does he do for the? Okay, very good.
That's right. And you know, he just got through whooping up on my poor Joe Burrow. You know, I'm gonna have to.
So you become a Cincinnati fan because of Joe Burrow?
Well, I'm a loosely affiliated fan of Joe Burrow, I guess. So
I would be a fan of his forever. Yeah.
Well, Bengals, I should say. I'm a fan of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it's hard to be.
I'm not a big NFL fan.
I know. Maybe. I'm University of Michigan fan, but it's not like I became a Patriots fan because of Tom Brady, right? But I get it.
So anyway. He'll, you know, be licking his wounds and be back for sure. But anyway, he injured his ankle playing the Jacksonville Jaguars earlier this in January, and he immediately declared that he wanted to thank God for helping him work through his rehab and get ready to go back. And because he was able to go back, he was able to beat the Bengals.
Yeah. And he was hurt in the first half or in the second? I forgot the details on that. Anyway, he had a pretty bad ankle sprain.
Yeah,
and they thought he was going to be out.
Thought he'd be out. Yep. But,
and then he came back like literally within 20 minutes.
Right back. Yeah. So he attributed that to God. And a lot of times these players will come back and they'll be very thankful to everyone but God.
Yeah.
But he has a history of being very thankful, being forthright. In 2019, he won the most valuable player in NFL. And he told a local news outlet in regards to that faith has always been big with him. And he says, obviously, I want to win every game, but I'm glorifying him, referring to our Lord, every single time he's out there. And he added, as long as I'm doing everything the right way and the way that he want me to do it, then I can walk out on the field with my head held high and be able to be the man that I am. And finally, the last note I had here, 2018, he said that growing up in a church helps be a professional athlete to know why you are playing the game and who you are doing it for. So I thought that was very, very admirable, especially on that high level. You know, guys are sometimes, and men in general, we're kind of ashamed, want to keep our faith quiet. But to be able to broadcast that on such a level, I thought that was a hit for me. So well done, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, no, very good. Well done you, brother. That's a really good one to bring out. And what I like about it is that he kind of elaborated, right?
That's right.
It was more than just a half a sentence or, I want to thank God for being here. Okay, let's go to your questions about the game, to the reporters and
that's
so
right.
forth. One of the things that I find interesting, Jason, is there is this, right? There's a big part of our population that are not only believers, right? They believe in God, but I remember it was just 10 years ago, something like 90% of the American public believed in God, and about 90% of that 90% said Jesus was the Savior, right? And as we know, those numbers have both come down. But they're still well above 50%, right? They're not quite
that's
at
right.
those 90% numbers. But the one thing I'm always fascinated by when it comes to stuff like this is that when somebody talks about it, like him, there's this full acceptance of his belief. There's this, even this kind of like quiet cheerleading that goes for it. But there's just never of a promotion on the people who are talking about it. Like in other words, if they play that clip on local sports radio, if they play that clip on the local TV, they won't denounce it, but they won't necessarily go, well, hey, look at that. That's neat that he's doing
absolutely.
That. And I always find that interesting that so many people that are involved in those decisions are believers themselves, but they never want to cross that line. They're like, they're going to let somebody else cross that line, but they'll never cross that line. And to a certain degree, I understand. But it's odd, especially when most of the people agree with what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a shame, but thank God for people like him, because that no matter what, God has to smile on comments like that, right? Does he smile more today than he would have 100 years ago? I don't know. But what I mean is because so many people have rejected our Lord, it's just great to know that despite all that he says that. And I really like him.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Chiefs. I'm not, he came from, I think, Texas Tech. I think that's where he came from. And I never thought he'd be the star that he is. but he just seems good in all ways.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, good for you.
Let all the others out there reject it, and that's why Faith and Sport exists, right?
I think that's one of the reasons
why you're here.
I know, brother. I love the fact that we get a chance to talk about this. I often say, like, over the weekend or the, you know, couple days after the show, I try to thank God a lot, and one of the reasons I thank God is I have a chance to talk about this. Who's listening? We never quite know. Are there tens of thousands of people? I think on sometimes, right? Because we're, you know, we have the syndication through Radio Maria, and they have a lot of affiliations throughout the country and so forth. So I think in sometimes we are reaching a big voice, but I'm just thankful that we have this opportunity to discuss this, because even if it's literally a couple hundred people, those people are listening with some intent to make this connection between the world of these two worlds we live in, and
that's
that
right.
is faith and sport. So,
amen.
Folks, if you're just joining us, this is Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Special guest today is Jason Murphy. If you want to hear more about the obligation, you can check his show and hear the podcast through Carolina Catholic Radio. You can go to, do we tape the show just like we do this one? It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
And theobligationshow.com.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, I love that. You have your
own. And it premieres every Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Chris, right. how do That's I right. get faithinsport.com? How did you do this?
GoDaddy.
GoDaddy.
Well, your guest coming up has a great website. What was
no,
that?
No, I know. I know.
Fitmom.com.
Oh, yeah. Fitcatholicmom.com.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love how that rolls right off.
Anyway, and brother, later on I want to talk about, because it's coming up, is the Men's Conference of the Carolinas.
That's right.
It's next month.
March 18th.
It's amazing.
St. Thomas Aquinas. Yeah.
All right, folks, my hit or miss is actually a hit as well, along with Jason. And mine is about an email that my 12-year-old Claire's coach emailed out to the girls a couple weeks ago. First of all, I think if he's not a volunteer, he probably makes a couple bucks, right? That's it. But he's terrific. He's retired, and by all accounts, I think he's terrific, and he keeps it in perspective. And I'm going to read just a couple sentences out of this email to show why we are appreciative of him and why ultimately we are thankful for him. He said, "Hi, parents. It's been an exciting season so far for our team. I'm a competitor, just as the girls are. So from that vantage point, it's great that we have won most of our games we've played. But as I've said several times, and I truly believe there are many more important things at this level of basketball than the results of the games." And remember, they're about 11, 12, maybe 13-year-old girls. "When I talk to the girls, I just about never mention winning or losing. We discuss improving as individuals and as a team. We talk about competing with energy and enthusiasm and pride and passion. And we focus on working hard and playing right and having fun." And he said, "From that angle, the season has been a rousing success so far." And he actually had another paragraph of comments, but we were so happy to hear this because he just put it all in perspective, and he really kind of like rounded up his thoughts and said, "Remember, this is what we're about." And of course, the reason it's so good, Jason, for a coach like this to write an email is because he helps remind not only what his goal is and what his motto is and what his mission is, he's helping the parents kind of shape their mission as well.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're about,
That's
folks. Right. Remember that.
Right.
And we're going to come back to this kind of on like the ugly end of youth sports, and we're going to talk about refereeing, and that's something that frustrates a lot of people. All right, folks, this is Faith and Sport. Thank you for joining us here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Stick around. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
February 8th is the feast day of St. Josephine Bikita, patron saint for victims of human trafficking. Hi, my name is Kara, and I'm with the Charlotte Diocese Catholic Charities Human Trafficking Awareness Committee. On February 8th, we will bring attention to the millions of victims of human trafficking who are suffering in our world today. In honor of St. Bikita, who was once a slave, we will provide a bilingual prayer service and a discussion about the reality of human trafficking. This event will be held Wednesday, February 8th from 6:15 to 7:15 p.m. at St. Francis of Assisi Church in Lenore, in English and Spanish. All are welcome to come and pray and learn more about how to spot the signs of human trafficking in our community. To learn more, go to www.ccdoc.org/human-trafficking. Again, www.ccdoc.org/human-trafficking.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Faith and Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sports. So if you are a competitor of any kind, like an athlete, you're a parent or grandparent of those competitors, you're umpire, referee, you are administrator, any way you're involved in sport, this is the show for you, because this is where we really encourage bringing your faith to the field. And I think for so many years, and I mean this literally centuries, there was no discussion. There was almost like this, there's a dismissal of Christian behavior once you get on the field, right? Yeah. You know, Jason, one of the interesting things, one of our upcoming possible guests, I have to confirm with them, is they're an MMA fighter. Hmm. And I think on air, the last time Ed was on the show, either off air or on air, but I remember we were sitting in these chairs and he said, how does he reconcile that? And that's a good question, isn't it? MMA fighter, because your whole thing is to put the person into submission through harming them or bringing them to near death.
And putting yourself in harm too.
Of course.
Yeah.
And there was a Alicia, my wife, went to a conference over the weekend, and there was a theologian there, and he's a convert to the faith, and he mentioned that his son, not the same individual, was an MMA fighter, and Alicia desperately wanted to ask him, how does he as a theologian reconcile what his son does with what he believes in God? And I think that's a fair question. In fact, one of the reasons I'd like to get this gentleman on the show is to ask him that question. But in fact, he may, I don't know him. He may resent the question, right?
Well, we've got an ex MMA fighter coming to the men's conference.
Is he going to be one of the speakers?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's like, you have to ask them to address that, because yeah, I would think people in the audience, Jason, are going to wonder, like, that's how right. did you do? But of course, he might say, listen, that was my former life.
Yeah. He was a SWAT officer and then an MMA fighter, I believe, or maybe one for, I'm not
sure.
I'm
just curious. You ever see any videos of him fighting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a competitor. Oh, yeah. He was in the, you know, regular,
you have to be mean. Yeah. I mean, you have to.
Had cauliflower eyes, our ears, and, you know.
And if you have cauliflower eyes,
that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Folks, in the second half of our program, just in about 10 minutes or so, Rebecca Dussault is going to join the show. She's a former Olympic athlete. She's the mother of five, a homeschooler. Check her out right now before she comes on at Fit Catholic Mom. And of course, one of the ways I got in touch with her, or one of the things that we have in common, and the way I got in touch with her, she belongs to the Catholic Speakers Bureau as I do, but I have a feeling that her phone rings off the hook far more than me. People want to hear about how do you be a homeschooler, mother of five, and she's incredibly fit, and she's all about health and wellness, so she's gonna have a whole lot to say to our audience, so stay tuned for that. So let's continue this conversation on what's going on in the world of sport. I want to clarify something. I'm hoping you heard of this. The last time we were on the show, we talked about this decision that came down in the state of West Virginia, in which a judge made a ruling on the transgender issue in the favor of our faith, basically, in which they said you could only compete as a member of the sex that was, you know, given to you at your birth.
That's right.
The troubling part of that, Jason, was he said in his statement, quote, although I believe that this is a natural desire And it is not a choice of those who want to transfer, right, genders, right? He said it is not fair for the young ladies and the girls who were girls at birth to compete against people that were once males.
Right.
The second part he had right, but to say that this is natural, this goes against the very thing that Dr. McDermott was talking about, my guest on the last show, in which he said the very thing that when we talk about natural law is that it is what God has instilled in us to be true and what God has instilled through scripture and through the prophets and so forth. And that was really troubling. And the one thing that goes against what he said, more than anything else, Jason, is that there has been research done showing that within, for instance, this one particular school, this one researcher kind of pointed to and said, there are, I think it was 38% of all of the girls in this middle school, right? Seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, or in this case, I think it was sixth, seventh, and eighth. 38% of all of the girls had taken steps to switch genders.
Wow.
And that's what she called a social contagion. Like, this is not something that's natural. This is something that is, some people feel whatever. They feel pressure, but also they feel, hey, this is what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
But man, going to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee is what everybody's doing. You don't change sexes just because this is what everybody's doing. This is incredibly troubling. Yeah. And for him to say that this is not a choice, by all means, this is a choice.
Yeah, I saw something earlier today, and I can't remember what organization, World Athletic Association or World something up there. It was a worldwide, you know, athletic association of some sort.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the proper name or not. But they, you know, they supposedly are, you know, beginning to crack down on some of this transgender, you know, men, you know, playing in women's sports. But yeah, they've kind of, it's almost condoning in a way, because they're not going to dissuade or prevent it. If it's, you know, if you're not going to play the sport of your biological sex at birth, they're going to do it by testosterone levels.
That's right.
Which, it's kind of riding the fence there, you know.
Of course.
You know, not saying it's not allowable, because I would think a man with perhaps low testosterone could still probably outcompete a woman on average level. You know.
Oh, by far.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a public policy there, probably a kind of don't want to commit one way or the other.
Right.
And so that's kind of disheartening. I did see like the World Surfing, women's surfing, just out, you know, made a
banned it, didn't they?
Yeah. Determination. World Women's Golf, they've made determination.
Is that true? LPGA has done that.
That's, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because you know what's interesting? Prior to this, the only two international organizations that have banned individuals that were born males that have, you know, trans to women are the Rugby Association, and the second one was rugby, and
so I'm not sure if they formalize it, but I know that everything's in the works perhaps, so it might not be formalized, but I have heard a lot of discussion on especially those two.
And the reason I bring that out is that the reason rugby was the first one to do it is because they were the ones that said, we have to put a stop to this before somebody gets really
and boxing.
Hurt.
I think boxing's up there too.
Yeah. And no, how can MMA not
come
be
on?
There? But there are MMA fighters
that
this is a big deal. And I think to a certain extent, some of our listeners are like, yes, we know how you feel, Dr. A, but I'm always going to talk about this. This is an ongoing story, and it's something that I want people on the front lines of to know. And remember, and I always say this, the people that they will never ask, and I've never seen asked, are exercise physiologists, because that's the door that's going to close the thing that's going to close the door in this argument completely. You talk to an exercise physiologist, testosterone levels are only one of the many lists.
Sure.
And when I say a big list, I'm talking about literally dozens of issues, heart size, lung size, blood volume, and so forth. Those are all things that have to be considered and that have an impact on the performance and outcome. And the only thing that they touch is testosterone. Let's switch gears from that, and let's kind of go down a little more friendly road that probably everybody's at least would understand a little more. One of the other kind of like regular discussions on this program, we talk about the name, image, and likeness issue within college sports. Jason, did you hear about what Nick Saban said when kids came to him asking for nil money? You know, name, image, and likeness, for those who don't know, is
sure. Yeah.
The organization or the college or university can't pay the kid, but there could be people that are involved in the university or just in the town where the university exists that can say, that can pay those players, yeah. And that's how they can.
He
make
turned
money.
Down two, right? Two, yeah. Pretty big guys. Yeah.
Listen to this. This is a quote from Nick Saban, the coach of Alabama football. He said, "Someone with one of the best cornerbacks in the nation came to me and asked if we'd pay them $800,000 for the player to sign here, and I'm sure who it was. Excuse me, was either his mom or dad, or maybe somebody that was going to be his agent in the future. I told him he can find another place to play," said Saban.
Love it.
Yeah, he goes, "I'm not paying a bunch of kids no money," in which he hasn't even earned it yet. And here's the, I'm laughing, but this is terrible. This is a quote from Saban as well. And he said, one of them, a second kid, why he told him that you guys can both leave. One of them wanted $500,000 for us, Alabama, to get his girlfriend into law school Alabama. Isn't that amazing? And he goes, I, needless to say, I showed him the door. So he wanted $500,000. And he said, you got to get my.
That's crazy.
And talk it's about not control. Understanding nil. Like he went to him and he goes, yeah, I know it's about other people paying us, but you can get my girlfriend into law school here at Alabama. And thankfully, he's like, there's the door. What are you talking about? You have no idea, no concept of what's going on here. Talk about those kids abusing this rule in less than 2 years. It just started in this July. It's going to be 2 years.
Oh, yeah. There's college quarterbacks making over $1 million a year right now. It's insane. Here's prediction time. You know,
let's hear it.
You know, Nick Saban, he's a Catholic, so you know, I'll give him all the respect in church. But when it comes on the football field, I'm probably going to turn the other way. No, he's a great coach. I do. We take him back in Baton Rouge anytime, you know. So, but no, he gosh, I lost my train of thought here with poor Nick Saban. I mean, here's my prediction. Sorry, you know, the football gods raining down on me. I know he's still got like 8 or 9 years left on his contract. I'm predicting he's gone within 3 because he won't mess around with this.
That's interesting.
He won't get the
prediction.
Respect he's supposed to get. He's going to be kind of pulled from one direction by the players, the other direction by the team, and he's too much of a high caliber coach to be dictated on how he's going to coach. And I would hate to see that, but unfortunately that's kind of where we are.
You know, it's funny because I wanted to do was make a point on the fact that they haven't been to the playoff the last 2 years. Mm. The last 2 years are the only two football seasons in which nil has been imposed or has been legal, and neither of those years. And I think that goes in hand. Is it correlated with the fact that he didn't make the playoff? He had really good years, first of all. Don't mistake that. He had really good years. He just missed in both times. However, I think you're right. I didn't go as far, though, as predict that he may leave the game, but I don't think there's any question that he is highly troubled by.
He left the pros for passion, and now the pros have infiltrated, and you basically got a minor NFL team you're dealing with.
That's right. And this is not just, coach, can I get nil money? This is, and again, nil stands for name, image, and likeness, so they can just get endorsements through.
It needs to be nil, like in the traditional meaning of nil.
Well, the good thing about something like this is that I think within the next 6 months, in fact, I'd be downright disappointed if the NCAA didn't stop in and say, here's a new set of rules that are associated with nil.
Oh, yeah.
But there's another guy who is highly disturbed by this whole thing, too, and that is Dabo Swinney. Mm. And he's a lot younger than Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And it's everybody knows this. I will predict this. In fact, the odds in Vegas will be very little because he's sure to do it. But he was a wide receiver at Alabama, and he is thought to be the heir to Nick Saban. Mm. And I know he can't stand this. He can't stand any talk of paying the players from the university, and I know he doesn't like nil either.
Yeah.
He knows it's going to ruin the locker room. He knows it's going to ruin these kids. This is unbelievable. Folks, a player came to Nick Saban and said, I want you to get my girlfriend into law school at Alabama.
There's an LSU gymnast, I think, making close to $10 million.
Yeah, she's kind of made it famous for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think she's the highest paid female athlete through nil. But also, it's been pretty widely speculated, and I think kind of true, that her coach is really insanely, not jealous, but frustrated by all the attention that she's gotten instead of the team at LSU.
That's right.
So, how much time we got, brother? So, folks, we want to thank you for joining us here on Faith and Sport. We're going to go to a break here in just a couple seconds. Listen, right after the break, Rebecca Dussault is going to join us, former Olympic athlete, mother of five. And check out her website at Fit Catholic Mom so you can see how she merges this whole concept of mind, body, and spirit. This is Faith and Sport, folks. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. This is where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. Joining me as a special guest today is Jason Murphy. He hosts The Obligation here on Carolina Catholic Radio. Jason, let's talk about, brother, something that you work literally year-round on. You work on two things year-round, or actually four things year-round. Your family, your job, right? Building 28-story skyscraper buildings for people to live in and sure. Collect $1 million in rent every month. Yeah. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you for donating your millions to the poor, though.
That's right.
And then the other two things that you work on year-round, your show, The Obligation, which is weekly here on Carolina Catholic Radio. And a couple years ago, you took on the role of the coordinator of the men's conference here in the Carolinas. It's next month.
That's right.
Tell us about it, brother.
It's coming up quick. Yeah, March 18th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. Such a great event. Guys, get out there and register. It's time. It's now. Full day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Our own Bishop Jugas will be there.
Awesome. Confessions will be heard, right?
Confessions
like every year.
All day. Come on, guys. Get on in there. Get cleaned up.
Yep.
And that's one of the best parts, seeing the guys line up for confession. And you know, right off the bat, that's the first place they head.
That's right.
Where's confession? Where's confession? Right there. Go get it. So, you know, there'll be adoration, rosary, of course, speakers, great speakers. Our own local Charles Frawney, writer, author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He'll be there. He's kicking it off. And like I said before, Deacon John Clark from, he is up in High Point. He's one of the deacons of the Diocese of Charlotte.
Awesome.
And he's a former SWAT officer and MMA fighter.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, lots of other guys, Kevin Fanning, Jonathan Fanning. He'll be there. He's a business life coach and a speaker and author, father, and man, just a great day. Go on the website. You can check it all out. Check out the whole day. The schedule's on there, and that's at www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5.
There you go.
Yep, yep.
I love it. And is there a, like an early fee? Is it like less if you do it, say, 3 weeks before?
Yeah, I think the doors are probably a little bit more. All the details are on the site. We also offer virtual if you're not able to make it. We've got some guys that I've already found out about that are out of state that wanted to watch it and keep up with it. So,
you know, the reason it's neat you mentioned that is we are a co-production of Radio Maria, and we are on in Texas, Wisconsin, Louisiana,
that's great.
New York, Florida, Pennsylvania, and those people can attend. But, you know, one of the things, it is neat, and it was a neat thing during the virus, right, the pandemic.
Right.
But one of the reasons that this is offered is just simply for other males and to be in fellowship with them. And you cannot, you know, you cannot receive the Eucharist through the internet. You cannot get absolution through the internet. Go to these conferences. And I mean this for the folks in Radio Maria land or for anybody in Carolina Catholic Radio listening audience. If you can't be there for any other reason, it's a great thing. It's like Mass, right? It's the next best thing, even though it's not the same thing.
That's right.
But I would highly encourage you to attend. It'd be interesting. Do you have any idea how many of the dioceses, like what percentage, offer a conference of this sort? I would think most do. But
in North Carolina, we're the
so Raleigh doesn't do it?
I don't know if there's a separate in Raleigh. I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why
you called
the Carolinas.
There's definitely one in South Carolina.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as I know, that we are the only one in the state.
I was asked to speak at the men's one a couple years ago, and for some reason I couldn't make that happen. I was so flattered that they asked me to come down and speak to them. Speaking of that, tell us who the MC is.
The MC is Kevin Spaulding.
And how did you get in touch with Kevin Spaulding?
You know, one of the attendees, and he mentioned to me another speaker, Scott Wieman, Catholic in Recovery.
What's that mean?
So this is for
just what it says.
That's it. Yeah. So it's going to be a great talk. You know, we kind of have a holistic approach at the men's conference. We like to have mind, body, and soul. And you know, we've had suicide prevention speakers in the past, and you know, that's an epidemic with men especially, and drinking as well. You know, struggling with drinking and anxiety and things like that. So Scott Wieman's going to talk to us about that, and we were introduced by Kevin Spaulding, who is part of Catholic in Recovery as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So very, very interesting. An all-around great day. You know, like I said, Bishop Jugas will offer Mass. Hoping to have some seminarians there. They're on break this year.
During that time. Is that good or bad?
Well, I don't know. They've been,
they might, we might have other obligations.
Yeah, they're usually there. So I'm hoping there'll be at least a handful. They definitely enhance. And it's good for men to see young men,
absolutely,
you know, especially those with boys or maybe single guys that show up and see guys giving their life for Christ and seeing the whole thing.
Absolutely. One of the things I'm impressed with, and I thought about doing this year, and I'm going to do it either this year or one of the upcoming years, is my son, Luke, is 11, and I want to bring him to this. And that's one of the great things. I want him to see other men of faith practicing their faith in this manner, but also they're going to confession. They go to Mass on a Saturday morning because some Catholics really believe that. Like, I remember one of my students said, and she's a former Catholic. She's one of my students at school. And she said, "How's your morning been?" And I go, "I just got back from daily Mass. And so it's off to a great start." And she goes, "Today's Thursday."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I know." But it was so foreign. And even to a Catholic, right, practicing or not, sometimes people go, "Why do you go on like Wednesday?" Right.
I mean, if you could receive the King of the world, the King of the universe every day, hey.
That's right.
I actually went today.
Got
cleaned up and hit Mass right after.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Speaking of, brother, I went to daily on Friday, which is one of the gifts, one of the true gifts the church offers its faithful. I always tell people, if they're even considering a little bit the church and entering the church, go to daily Mass.
Sure.
There's a special grace that people receive when you go to daily Mass. It's in... And for no better word, and this is not the best word, but I can't think of a better word, there's no disturbances.
That's right.
Right?
A little more simpler.
Yes.
A little more quiet.
And it's just like, this is the deal.
Yeah.
We're going to have these readings, we're going to have the Eucharistic prayer, and then we're going to get the Eucharist, and I love it.
That's right.
It's just fantastic. And I went to confession on Saturday,
there
brother.
You go. But yeah, back to your point, as far as bringing your son, there is no age limit. I would leave that up to each father's discretion. I'm bringing my son. He's 15.
God, and you think it's about time that he experiences this, and it might keep his attention.
I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, up to discretion, if you're 11, 12, 13, I think that each individual father knows their children better than anyone, and there's certainly not going to be anything fully inappropriate. I mean, you know, yeah, it'd be, yeah, it's in a church. Come on, yeah, it's not going to be too bad. So.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, going to be adult men conversation,
that's right,
at least to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. The other voice you hear is Jason Murphy. He's the host of The Obligation here on Carolina Catholic Radio. Remember, this is a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm so appreciative of Radio Maria bouncing this show out to all their listeners. One of the things I promised was Rebecca Dussault was going to be here, and she's having trouble calling in, so Chris is going to try to contact her through a different line here in the studio, so she'll be joining us in just a couple minutes. But this gives us a great opportunity, Jason. This is one of the reasons, and I mean this, when I come across these stories, I am so glad in a few days this show is coming up so I can talk about this. It's about NFL star Russell Wilson. He is certainly a superstar. He was a terrific college player. He ended up being the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, and he's just a winner. Everybody who knows the NFL, and by all accounts, he's a good guy. But he has been recently in the news because of the following. He is married to a gal named Sierra. They were married in 2016. And he did an interview in which he talked about his time with Sierra as his girlfriend and what God was telling him while he was in this relationship. And it made news because he chose to abstain from sex with his gal until they were married. And this is some of the quotes from this story. I met this girl named Sierra who was the most beautiful woman in the world, the most kind person, the most engaging person, everything that I could ever want. She was on tour and I was looking at her in the mirror and she was sitting there and God spoke to me and said, I need you to lead her. And I was like, really? Right now? And he says, no, I want you and I need you to lead her. And I asked her, what would you do if we took all the extra stuff off the table and did it just the Jesus way? Wow. And of course, what he was referring to is let's simplify things. Let's simplify our relationship. Let's simplify things in this pre-marriage relationship they had. And it she said, admittingly, it confused her. And she said she would have to take this to God. She would have to take this to prayer. Because as you and I were talking off air, this is confusing to a lot of people. If anybody utters these words, especially if they're sharp, if they got prospect, and in this case, he is a star. He's a superstar, and he's got all the money in the world. And that's I said this when Elvis Gerback, the former NFL quarterback and former University of Michigan quarterback, was on this show just a couple weeks ago, and I said, I'm so glad to have people like him on the show because he is a witness. While he has everything at his fingertips, everything. He's got fame, he's got notoriety, he's got money, he's got prospects, he's got talent, he's got everything, and he's still choosing God. And not only did Russell Wilson choose God, he was choosing the celibate life. And it confused his gal, but they are married for over like 7 years now. They have three little kids, and I am so glad he's making this statement. I think it's a little personal. I think you don't necessarily need to know this, but in this day and age, I'm more happy than not that he gives interviews about this because people need to see such witnesses. What are your thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, it shouldn't be shocking, you know, but unfortunately in today's world, it is unique. It is rare because it is manly. It's manly is what it is, you know, for a man to stand up against the way society is trying to teach everyone about, especially about sexuality.
Yeah.
Talk about going against the goad there.
Big time.
Yeah. So it's very respectful. That's what we need. We need good, strong, manly men.
Yes.
And that's manly, you know,
it
living
is.
Living a Christian life. That is the quintessential man right there. And it's been lost.
And yes, exactly. And what you're saying is that, being a man and manly and doing all the things that we kind of define men as being, kind of like the provider of the house, like the traditional things, the stronger individual in the marriage, being the father to boys and to girls and all that. But you're right. It kind of does it to the nth degree. And he's saying, no, a real man is a godly man. And the godly man says, no, let's wait until marriage.
Yeah. Turn on TV primetime and do the exact opposite of everything you see about men on primetime television.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's unfortunately the way it is.
Is it? I heard this priest recently said, he goes, you, in fact, it was somebody pointed me and it was online and I listened to this, homily he gave a couple weeks ago, and he said during this homily, and I've heard other people say this before, you can't show me a TV show, a comedy, a drama, any other character that plays a father on TV in which they don't depict him as somewhat of a buffoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope that's not true. I don't watch enough TV. In fact, I hardly watch any weekly TV. Gosh, it's awful that that's the case.
Yeah.
Chris, what's the situation with Rebecca? Are we going to give her a call?
Yeah, we're going to call her during the next break.
Okay. All right, so Rebecca, hang on there. We're going to give you a call. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria and Faith and Sport. This is where we merge sport and virtue. So thank you for joining us today. Special guest is Jason Murphy. He is the coordinator of the Men's Conference of the Carolinas. So please check that out.
And host of The Obligation.
And host of The Obligation. And that other voice you heard is Chris Pressler. Every once in a while, we press a button to turn his mic on, and we let him say whatever he wants. And so there it was, the host of The Obligation.
There you go.
On Carolina Catholic Radio and the media.
That one was me, Doc. Sorry. I pressed the button that time. I let the monkey loose.
There you go. So, listen, let's do this, Chris. Let's go to break. Let's give Rebecca a call. I want to hear what she has to say. Folks, in this break, check out her website, fitcatholicmom.com. We'll be back in 2 minutes, so hang right with us here on Faith and Sport.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. I've been talking about our guest, Rebecca Dussault. I've been trying to get her on the show for at least a couple weeks. And then, folks, I sent her a number to call in, and I sent her the wrong number. And I am so glad that this is a Catholic show because she had to forgive me and still make the effort and take the time to call. Let's bring her on right now. Rebecca Dussault, welcome to Faith and Sport.
Hey, thanks. It's great to finally be with you.
Rebecca, I'm gonna write a couple stars next to your name. God bless you for all your persistence, because I don't want to go through everything I've had to do and you had to do to be on the show, but thank you. So your motto is train the body, nourish the soul. Tell us about, if we go to fit Catholic mom, what are you bringing to the visitors to your website?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So with women, we find that there's just something that is a trend, and it is that as we become mothers and maybe even mothers of many, as we are, you know, beautifully open to life and have these babies, sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves, and or maybe we never learned how. So
yeah,
it's really important to restore the vital functions of motherhood. And to do that, it's much like the hierarchy that we have of keeping our marriages before our kids and that sort of thing. We forget to keep ourselves in the equation at all, which obviously there is that call to be selfless, to pour ourselves out. So it's not in any way limiting to that, but helping women to restore their strength, their stamina, their self-esteem,
yeah,
just their focus, give them really the tools so that they're thriving in their vocation. It in fact makes it easier to be open to life, to be generous in gifting of ourselves. So training that through the school of sport is really the emphasis. Granted, it's much broader than that because yeah, we also need to be eating well.
That's right.
Sleeping well, praying well, all the things. So it's really just a comprehensive training that women are receiving from me.
No, I love it because you have the two things on the resume. You're a faithful Catholic lady, and you not only are fit now, but you demonstrated the highest level of fitness, not in a general sense, but in a specific sense. Because as you know, being a cross-country skier for literally decades now, the athletes in the Winter Olympics that demonstrate the highest VO2 max, right, the highest level of cardio fitness, are cross-country skiers. And that's how you represented the United States in that event. And so you know all about it. So, folks, you got to give this gal a listen. And she's a member, like I am, of the Catholic Speakers Bureau. And let me ask this. What is, when you speak, you give presentations, when people hear you speak in a group, if you're at a mom's conference or a woman's conference, whatever the case, what do people, Rebecca Dussault, want to hear from you most? Do they want to hear about how are you so fit? How do you manage five kids and homeschooling? What do they want to hear from you?
I think the thing that they want to hear most, and it almost doesn't matter if it's moms or families or whomever, maybe teenagers are their own little category, but they really want to know, what does the church teach? How are we to respect the life of the body, both to believe that it is created for life and life in abundance, as we're told in John?
Yeah.
Also, though, that the flesh is of little avail, and it's a vanity to chase after things of the flesh. So I think really balancing out that message of, what does the church actually teach? What does the catechism say? What do the Holy Fathers say?
Yeah.
All of the things, because we really do need a theology of the body. We are all here in this experience in the body. So to reconcile that with the faith is the most beautiful work, because then it can really sink into the core of our person when we understand, what does this stewardship look like? How is a Catholic to care for the flesh and find holy tension? Holy tension being that things in our life are not excessive, and they're also not in deprivation. So really finding that middle ground there, which is where we're stewarding well, and the Lord is very much a part of that process. So I think it's an interest in all of us to understand, what does it look like for a Catholic? How for some could it be all the way to the Olympics, and for another, just the domestic duties of caring for 10 children at home, those sorts of things. So, the message is broad, but I think it boils down to a simplicity that the church cannot but encourage everything that develops our person harmoniously, and that is going to include the proper use of the body. Teenagers, of course, might want a little extra spice dumped on that. They want to know, the raw and real stories from the Olympics and what it was like to wear a chastity ring and be lambasted by teammates and coaches. And so there's a whole other element there when you're speaking to teenagers, especially, because they're usually the ones still wanting to have a shot at life through sports and the opportunities it affords you and things. So it just really depends which audience it is, but generally we're seekers of truth. We want to know what that looks like for the flesh, because the world gives us an absolutely mixed up message and leads a lot of families astray.
No, but Rebecca, you deliver that message well. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. We are talking with Rebecca Dussault, former Olympic athlete, mother of five. Check out all she does at fitcatholicmom.com. You are well-versed. You're well-catechized, Rebecca. Who do you give credit to? Was there, I take it you're like me and you're a cradle Catholic?
I am a cradle Catholic, but it was really when I was a teenager, around 13 years old, that mm-hmm. I began to homeschool with who was then just a friend's family. Ultimately, she became my mother-in-law, but she just wow. had such a deep love for God, and the inner life was so evident in her.
Yeah.
And so she just towed us along through the faith and had us fall in love with truth. And then to be certainly in a place of having to defend that, we had to learn it inside and out. And I would say I still feel infantile in my defense of the faith, but at the same time, it's been there for me. And yeah, to go then into the arena of sport, which is so uncatechized, which yeah. is mission territory.
Yep.
Your team, your teammates, your coaches right around you here in the U.S. or wherever. It's something that I really couldn't have gone as far as I did without that, because it's what held it all together for me. Because otherwise it felt like definitely chasing the perishable crowns of the world, rather forsaking the imperishable crowns. So, you know, it wasn't that I always got it perfect, but that it was I kept trying to make progress and do it really steeped in the truth, and it took a lot of maturation. It didn't come naturally the first couple of times I traveled with the U.S. ski team to Europe. It was very difficult, but yeah. I ultimately learned to stand in my own truth, to be my own athlete, and to keep going in that. And so now to turn and give that back, say yeah. to the kids that I coach or the women that I coach, and help them to be truly and uniquely Catholic despite the things that God gifts them with that they use.
Yeah.
For his greater glory, or otherwise. We need to be our Catholic selves.
You know, Rebecca, I'm thinking about you with your teammates and talking with other people in your journey as an Olympic athlete and through all the journeys that you've been through in life. And one of the things I'm always like a little disappointed in, impressed by, you know, not in a like in a good way, but sometimes the people that are most challenging to me in my faith are people not only that were born and raised Catholic, but still claim to be Catholic. And I know I'm going down a road that, you know, I didn't prepare you for, but I'm just thinking that it's always kind of odd. Like some of these people that were probably against what you are for were people that would probably call themselves practicing Catholics. And I'm always amazed by that. But also, it's a great opportunity, and I'm sure that's the way you look at it. You're so well-versed. Yeah, you're not a walking catechism. You know, hardly anybody is, but you know enough about it, and you're a great witness. And I would just encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being who you are, because I bet, and remember, we never know this, Rebecca, we're bringing people to the faith years after we run across them, and so you got to keep doing what you're doing.
Amen to that. That's absolutely right. And right now, I'm coaching 12 young kids on our development ski team, and I am almost 8 months pregnant with our 10th. I am a funny-looking coach out there. Everyone says, when are you going to stop skiing? I said, when the jacket doesn't fit and I can't bend over and get the skis on. But no, really, it's a matter of giving back and to go yeah. and form another generation of athletes right now, really subtly using virtue. And we're not some Catholic ski team, but to subtly use the virtue, the character, all the training that are available to us so that we are our best athletes. It's really important, and it's a beautiful space in a way that I really give to my children too, because they're certainly on the team as well. But I know there's the naysayers out there who think, you know, we can't be anything other than, you know, maybe a mother. Maybe that's all there is for
that's
Catholic
right.
women is to be a mother.
Right.
But how few of us, you know, there's so many of us who would not have had the fullest expression of what God has asked us to be. I look to saints like Gianna Bretamola to be a physician and a faithful mother.
That's right.
There are those of us who are called to that duplicity, which is a unity, but it is a duplicity as well.
That's right. I do owe you another apology. I said more than once on the show, you know, when you were ready to come on the show, that you were a mother of five. It's a mother of nine and 10 to be. I'm so sorry and congratulations. Holy smokes.
Well, this is our earthly seventh. I mean, we've lost two to miscarriage and one early at 33 weeks with a hypoplastic left heart.
So got it.
This is the seventh subject to me raising he or she.
Got it. Understood.
Kevin's doing a fabulous job with the other three. And we're just trusting the Lord. But I also became a grandma this fall. So
oh my God.
Really exciting.
That is fantastic. Congratulations on that. Final thing. So this will be a way to drive people to your book and your website. On fitcatholicmom.com, you know, along the, you know, the pull down tabs on your homepage, it says free ebook. Tell us about that ebook people can get.
Well, like anything, you can go get a little freebie and read a little bit of the mindset that I coach from and just, you know, become more curious. Ultimately, there isn't an ebook out there that's probably going to change your life. Really going through the full comprehensive coaching, being mentored in faith and fitness and food, and being able to integrate that and leverage that into your Catholic lifestyle is really where you want to go. And to do that, it really, the broadening effect of training ourselves so acutely like that is what is amazing, because it revolutionizes family life. It changes family culture. It affects the spouses and the children and the workplace. And it's really going back to that nucleus of function.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, really the core of it is getting yourself sorted out. And I know that's crazy because we don't really like to talk about self. It almost makes us uncomfortable.
A lot of people,
but I also love this that Mother Teresa said. She says, the more that the poor need the sisters and I, the longer we spend at prayer.
Yeah.
So the more armor they put on, the more readiness they prepare with so that they can go out and do the harder jobs more completely for Christ. And I think that that's a great, you know, it's not, I wouldn't ever single that out like this is the only lens to look through, but we've got to reclaim what it means to be faithful and fit as mothers,
right.
Holy and healthy as mothers.
That's right. Well,
so that the health of Catholic mothers isn't failing.
Absolutely. Well, you're speaking to a great audience because, as you probably know, I'm an exercise physiologist, and so I sing the same song. So, fit Catholic mom, train the body, nourish the soul. Rebecca Dussault. Rebecca, thank you for being a great witness to the faith, and thank you for being on the show today. You have a lot more to say, so please keep an eye on your email, and in a few months when I reach out to you, please accept another time on the show because you have more to say to our listeners, okay?
Will do. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rebecca. You take care. Talk soon.
Right.
There you go,
bye.
Folks. Rebecca Dussault, former Olympic athlete. Wow, it's amazing, right? She's got an amazing story.
She just kept coming with the surprises.
No,
that's awesome.
No, I know. In fact, I mean this. We need to hear people like that. The energy she brings, it's pretty obvious why she's a sought-after Catholic speaker, right?
Sure.
She's going to bring it, and she's doing all these things, multiple kids, homeschooling, and she lives the faith, and she can speak about the faith to a strong degree and articulate it well. So God bless her, and let's pray for her and her mission. Listen, folks, we only got a minute left. As always, I want to leave you with a quote from one of our popes, in this case, Pope Francis, in which he said, "Sport means to reject all forms of selfishness and isolation. It's an opportunity to meet and be with others, to help each other, to compete in mutual esteem and grow in brotherhood." Before we go, special thanks to Jason Murphy, Rebecca Dussault, our producer, Chris Pressler. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for Faith in Sport. St. Sebastian, pray for us.
I want to thank you for tuning in for Faith in Sport today. I want to thank all of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in around the Radio Maria broadcast area for tuning in, as well as our Carolina Catholic Radio listeners tuned in on 1270 AM Charlotte, Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app. And whenever you log on to carolinacatholicmedia.org or the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app, make sure to hit that Donate Now button to help keep great Catholic radio programs on the air like Faith in Sport and all the great programs that you hear on Carolina Catholic Radio and Carolina Catholic Media.